The House will be in order. Chair recognizes the gentleman from Harrison, Representative Winchettle.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Good evening, Mr. Speaker. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen of the House. Mr. Speaker, I move to suspend Rule 75 and the provisions that prohibit voting after midnight.
The gentleman from Harrison moves to move Rule 75. The clerk will open this machine and record your vote. Hinson, aye. Seek, aye. Smith, R, no. Nielsen, no. Jones, aye. Gassman, aye. Have you all now voted? The clerk will close the machine and record your vote. The House will pay attention to the results of the vote. Those voting aye, 51. Those voting no, 42. Absent or not voting, 7. The rule suspension has succeeded. The chair recognizes the gentleman from Harrison.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, at this time, please recognize Representative Moore for Senate File 2310 and Representative Jacobson for House File 594.
The chair recognizes the gentleman from Cass, Representative Moore, for opening comments on Senate File 2310.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, the House, the Senate has sent us back Senate File 2310 with Amendment H313, and it has some clarification, some technical changes in it. One major change in it is that it removed the flexibility of the management fund, which had created some heartburn for some people. And so I think this is a good amendment. I think it still is a great bill and does what we want to do. And Mr. Speaker, I move that the House concur in the Senate Amendment H8313 and ask the body to vote aye.
The chair recognizes. Is there a discussion? The chair recognizes the lady from Scott, Representative Kurth.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ladies and gentlemen of the House, we got the changes for this bill a little while ago, and there are both good items in it and a couple that I'm not so certain about, but overall I think the bill is a good bill. Part of what I like is that it clarifies the good faith effort required in order to approve the three extra classes that can be offered online. It also removes the requirement that schools prioritize social distancing to only the core courses. That was something we had a question about what that meant, and so they just removed that part entirely. And then it also definitely cleaned up more of the homeschool student assistance that the original bill asked for. It makes it very clear that it's only under the district's HACCP program, or the schools that have a HACCP program. I'm concerned about the removal of the management levy money because I'm concerned about how this is going to be paid for. But overall, I think the bill is quite good. And one frustrating piece is the elimination of the director's discretion on the waiver. It leaves implementation a little bit up in the air. I think some rules will have to be developed for that. But overall, this is a good bill. and I encourage a yes vote.
Seeing no further discussion, the chair recognizes the gentleman from Cass. The gentleman from Cass already moved H8313. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The amendment has passed. The gentleman from Cass moves the bill be read for the last time and placed on its passage. Are there objections? Seeing none, the clerk will read.
Senate File 2310, a bill for an act relating to educational instructional requirements and funding flexibility and including effective date and retroactive applicable provisions being enacted by the General Assembly of the State of Iowa.
The question now is, shall the bill pass? Those in favor of its passage shall vote aye. Those opposed shall vote no. The clerk will open the machine and receive your vote. Seek, aye. Carlson, aye. Holt, aye. Smith, R, aye. Hall, aye. Have you all now voted? The clerk will close the machine and receive your vote. The House will pay attention to the results of the vote. Those voting aye, 94. Those voting no, 0. Absent or not voting, 6. The bill having received a constitutional majority is declared to have passed the House. Are there objections to the title? Hearing none, the title is agreed to. The chair recognizes the gentleman from Pottawatomie for opening remarks on House File 594. And we are on the Senate Amendment H312.
Good evening, Mr. Speaker. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen of the House. Senate Amendment H8312 is an amendment relating to procedures for a minor child. And Mr. Speaker, there is an amendment to the amendment.
There is an amendment. The clerk will call up the amendment.
H8314 by Lundgren of Dubuque.
The chair recognizes the lady from Dubuque, Representative Lundgren, for opening remarks on H8314.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen of the House. I offer Amendment H8314 based on a 1992 Supreme Court decision in Planned Parenthood of Southeastern Pennsylvania versus Casey, where the U.S. Supreme Court decided that a 24-hour waiting period was not an undue burden. 27 states have waiting periods before abortions, and Iowa has a 3-day waiting period for marriage license, 72-hour waiting period for after a birth for an adoption, and a 90-day waiting period for divorce. Iowa already recognizes waiting periods in the code for a reasonable amount of time to consider a life-impacting decision. 24 hours is not an unreasonable amount of time to think about a decision that impacts more than just one life. Mr. Speaker, those are my opening comments, and I defer the rest of my time to Representative Salmon.
The chair recognizes the lady from Blackhawk, Representative Salmon.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Iowans want to see unborn lives protected. And this bill is a big step in that direction. I wholly support this action. As Representative Lundgren said, 27 states already have waiting periods. 17 of those are 24-hour waiting periods, as we are proposing tonight. Waiting periods help ensure that decisions are made not under duress and not under undue influences. It is hoped that after taking time to consider it, a woman would choose life over death. Iowans prefer life over death. Thank you.
As our discussion, the chair recognizes the gentleman from Polk, Representative Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
I'm very confused on this amendment. Somehow we ended up with an abortion amendment on a limitations on life-sustaining procedure. I'd ask the speaker if this amendment is in fact germane, because it doesn't appear to even relate to anything in the bill.
Representative Meyer, your point is well taken. The amendment is not germane. Representative Lundgren, the amendment is not germane. Representative Meyer, do you have a motion?
Yeah, I do have a motion.
Representative Lundgren, do you have a motion? As you state your point. Representative Lundgren, your amendment is not germane. Do you have a motion?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Yes, I ask for unanimous consent to accept House to consider Amendment H8314. Mr. Speaker, I move to suspend the rules to consider this amendment.
The lady from Dubuque moves for immediate consideration of H8314. The gentleman from Polk requests a roll call vote, seconded by the lady from Clinton. This is now a record roll call vote. The clerk will open the machine and record your vote. Thompson, aye. Seek, aye. Hall, no. Smith, R, no. Sexton, aye. Have you all now? Best, aye. Have you all now voted? The clerk will close the machine and record your vote. The House will pay attention to the results of the vote. Those voting aye, 52. Those voting no, 42. Absent or not voting, 6. Representative Lundgren, the amendment has passed. The suspension of rules has passed. Is there discussion on H8314? The chair recognizes the lady from Story, Representative Weschel Cottrell.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and thank you, ladies and gentlemen of the House. It's getting kind of late, and I know we have a lot of work to do tonight. And I am very concerned about this amendment. I trust Iowans to do the right thing. I have heard that statement a lot lately when it comes to protecting ourselves, our families, and our communities from COVID-19. I would like to suggest that we extend it to Iowa women. We need to trust Iowa women to do the right thing. I trust an Iowa woman to make her own sexual and reproductive health care decisions, much as each of us take on the responsibility to stay safe, wash our hands, stay home when we are sick, and wear a face mask. I trust Iowa women to do the right thing. The fact is that Republicans trust Iowans to do the right thing, except when it is a pregnant woman. Let's look at the facts. First, you need to know a woman does not rush into making a decision to seek abortion care. The average amount of time a woman takes to make that decision is 10 days after discovering she is pregnant. Let's do the math. That's 240 hours, I believe. Women create their own waiting periods, as they should. I trust a woman to make the right decisions. Once again, an Iowa woman has already made an informed, conscientious decision when she schedules an appointment for termination. On average, she has waited 10 days. Second, once she arrives for her appointment, she is given counseling on all available options, as if she hadn't already thought about them. And she is given a full rundown of what having an abortion entails. Clinics work to make sure that the patient is not being coerced into a decision she will not be comfortable with. And after that, women are asked if they are sure this is the right decision for her to make. Rather than undermining a decision that a woman is making, we should instead trust her to do the right thing. Finally, and this is interesting, a study published in 2016 found that a woman seeking abortion care that feels certain about her decision. Women are significantly more confident about her decision to seek abortion care than she is for other healthcare decisions, such as knee surgery, breast cancer treatments, and invasive prenatal testing. The overwhelming majority of the women who sought an abortion did not regret the decision, not in the short term and not over time. There have been several comments on the floor this legislative session, which make me think that most of you trust Iowans and Iowa doctors to do the right thing. Two of them happened on February 5th. Representative Osmondson said, "I don't like telling doctors what to do." Representative Osmondson, I agreed with you. I feel we should leave the practice of medicine to physicians. Also on February 5th, Representative Tom Moore said, "Doctors should determine what medication the patient is on." Representative Moore, I agree with you and would like to expand that to, "Doctors should decide what medical procedures each patient needs, including abortion care." Now more than ever, we should be listening to our medical professionals. We have heard repeatedly from doctors and midwives that restrictions on abortion is not only dangerous, but it can be life-threatening. This bill does not even have an exception for rape and incest. You are restricting access to abortion for women who have survived rape and incest. That is just wrong. Most Iowans place trust in their doctors. Doctors should be making these decisions with their patients, not politicians. Would Representative Lundgren yield to a question, please?
Will the lady yield?
Yes.
You are in order.
Thank you, Representative Lundgren. So if this amendment passes, as you know, when a woman goes in and she has a miscarriage, it's an abortion. So she'll be billed for an abortion. But if she's having a miscarriage and the doctor recommends that she have a DNC, which is an abortion, how would that be handled under this amendment? If it's not threatening to her life.
If you recall, Representative Wessel Kirschel, we do have a provision in here for medical emergency.
So you would consider it a medical emergency? Would it have to be considered an emergency? I mean, if the doctor said, yeah, you can come back tomorrow, we got a 24-hour waiting period instead of doing it right now, would you consider that an emergency?
I'm not going to answer a hypothetical.
Well, there are a lot of hypothetical. Thank you very much. Unfortunately, these are things that happen every day. They happen all the time. Women have miscarriages. They end up in clinics needing an abortion. Pregnancy is complicated, and every woman's experience is unique. It's appalling to see my GOP colleagues exploit this moment of national pandemic to advance an ideological agenda that is out of touch with Iowans. Our constituents want us to work together for common sense solutions to real problems. Let me quote former Chief Justice Katie from the Iowa Supreme Court decision that this is responding to. He said, autonomy and dominion over one's body go to the very heart of what it means to be free. Nothing could be more fundamental to the notion of liberty. Former Chief Justice Katie was a true scholar and leader. We lost a truly great man when Justice Katie passed away last year. His leadership, intellect, and ability to interpret the Constitution were brilliant. Let's not pass more legislation that would undermine his brilliant leadership. Let's not put roadblocks in the way for a woman who is making the right decision for herself and her family. I trust Iowa women to make the right decisions without our interference and mandates. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
The chair recognizes the lady from Polk, Representative Deary.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. About 14 months ago, on the last day of the 2019 session, I spoke in this chamber about my frustration with passing at the last minute, without the benefit of public input, a bill that changed our judicial nominating system. That frustration pales in comparison to my frustration today, when we are in the midst of a pandemic that has caused us to suspend session for 11 weeks, that has killed 650 Iowans, a pandemic that has caused an economic crisis, when our streets are filled with Iowans protesting our long history of systemic racism and the killing of innocent Black Americans, and we are just days after we finally came together to take a first step toward addressing that long history of injustice. When we are facing real problems that seriously impact Iowans' everyday lives, their health and their safety, their livelihood, instead of addressing these serious problems, we are here debating at the very end of session without the benefit of public input, in the midst of a pandemic, in the midst of civil unrest, another infringement on Iowa women's rights to make their own decisions about something as deeply personal as body autonomy. Representative Wessel Kirschel quoted Chief Justice Mark Cady, and I'll add to that because he did state so eloquently, autonomy and dominion over one's body go to the very heart of what it means to be free. At stake is the right to shape for oneself without unwarranted governmental intrusion, one's own identity, destiny, and place in the world. Nothing could be more fundamental to the notion of liberty. Implicit in the concept of ordered liberty is the ability to decide whether to continue or to terminate a pregnancy. I trust women, not the government, not lawmakers, to know when and how to make the deeply personal decision of whether to continue a pregnancy. I trust women like my friends and neighbors, relatives, and like myself. Women who've faced an unplanned pregnancy, or the heartbreak of learning a pregnancy is not viable, or that continuing a pregnancy would put her health or life at risk. The idea that we need to insert ourselves into that very personal decision by requiring women to wait 24 hours to receive health care, that we can't trust women to know when and how to make their own decisions about their own families and about their own futures, is demeaning and insulting to women, and it's dangerous. Every day, women face the deeply personal decision of whether to continue a pregnancy. Let me share with you one example, an Iowan, a new mother, who wrote to me. I've only shared this with a few people, but I had an abortion last year. My daughter has a twin. Unfortunately, she was not viable. I saw every specialist here and in Minneapolis to no avail. If I didn't act, my surviving daughter would likely have died as well or had severe neurological issues. So at 18 and a half weeks, I traveled to Minneapolis and had an abortion. It's not something that I've allowed myself to deal with yet. I wish your male colleagues knew what it was like to be in that room where you have to make the most horrendous decision, where their stupid laws strip you of your dignity and your doctor has to tell you an abortion will increase your risk of breast cancer. It won't, or advise you about adoption. I wish that had been an option. What are they doing? God help them. They have no idea. Now just imagine a woman who has to make such a horrendous decision, a decision she must make in order to have one healthy child, having to endure a 24-hour waiting period, and having to endure an ultrasound imaging of the newborn child that displays the approximate age of the unborn child, having to endure being given the opportunity to see the unborn child by viewing the ultrasound image of the unborn child and to hear a description based on the image and hearing the heartbeat of the unborn child. Imagine her having to endure being provided information regarding the options relative to pregnancy, including the continuing the pregnancy to term and retaining parental rights following the child's birth, continuing the pregnancy to term and placing the child for adoption. Can't we trust women to make such personal, sometimes horrendous decisions without subjecting them to further trauma? I'm asking you to join me in trusting women to make their own personal decisions about such an important life event as when to become a parent and what is in the best interest of her family. And to those of you who are personally opposed to abortion, I understand that for you personally, abortion is deeply troubling. Let me again quote Mark Cady. Reasonable minds will unquestionably diverge as to the morality of terminating a pregnancy. Like Justice Cady, I have great respect for the sincerity of those with deeply held beliefs on either side of the issue. But yours or my sincerely held beliefs do not give us the right to take away women's liberty, to strip them of their dignity, to dictate to them how or when they can make their own decisions about their own bodies, about their own future. I urge you to join me in trusting women and voting no on this amendment. Thank you.
The chair recognizes the lady from Johnson, Representative Lensing.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen of the House, once again, we legislators are determining that we know best. We have, over the years, presumed that women cannot make choices about their own health or their own bodies. They cannot make a very personal and difficult decision about ending a pregnancy. And now we're telling physicians that they must obtain written certification from the pregnant woman that she has met all the requirements that we have prescribed at least 24 hours prior to performing the procedure. It seems to me that we are second guessing a woman's ability to make this personal choice, and that offends me. You do not walk in my shoes. You don't know about my life experiences, my situation, my health care, or anyone or anything else that may come into my decision making, nor any other woman's. It is presumptuous, disrespectful, and in my opinion, insulting. Insulting to women of all ages who are responsible for making their own healthcare decisions. Do we place any restrictions on men? Do they go through anything comparable when they are making healthcare decisions? Are women not able to make informed decisions about terminating a pregnancy? A 24-hour waiting period insinuates that a woman has not thought about this decision very carefully. Women take their time, their own time, to make that decision, and this is an unfair burden to be placed upon someone. Whether one chooses to have a child, to choose adoption, or to have an abortion is none of my business. And it's none of the legislature's business either. It is not our decision to make. Access to safe, legal abortion is a woman's right. I trust women to get the information they need to make the decision that is right for them. It should not be politicized, and women should not be shamed or have to face barriers to make access to abortion even more difficult. We should not be interfering with a woman's ability to make decisions at a personal, private, and difficult time. Even worse, perhaps, there is no exception provided here for women who have been victims of rape or incest. We have done enough. I will not add any more to the long list of prerequisites that women have to follow. Women have been victimized enough. I trust Iowa women to make their own individual decisions about their health care, and we as politicians need to get out of their way. I do not support this amendment, and I implore you, please vote no.
The chair recognizes the lady from Polk, Representative Mattson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen of the House, I rise in fierce opposition to this amendment. Like so many issues that we face, personal health care decisions are complex. And that's because human nature is complex. Religious beliefs are complex. What I and so many Iowans want the majority party to understand is that requiring a woman to wait 24 hours for a legal medical procedure, something this legislature has never required of any other medical procedure, is driven entirely by ideology that has nothing, absolutely nothing, to do with medical science. The intent of a 24-hour ban is the same as the 72-hour ban passed a few years ago and found unconstitutional. Make it harder for a woman to get the care she needs, and she just won't get it. Or perhaps it's the notion that women need politicians to protect them from themselves, because some of you may think that we haven't put every measure of thought into such a decision. I can't tell you how many of my constituents have contacted me about not letting politicians interfere in their private and sometimes difficult healthcare decisions, begging us to try and have some kind of understanding and empathy for what it's like to be the one walking in these shoes. I'm sure some of you are telling yourselves and your constituents, how big a deal is 24 hours? Well, here are a few things that the Iowans this will affect worry about. Not having a car or reliable transportation, and having to ask someone to take them to an appointment, not just once, but 2 days in a row. Not having enough gas money, not just one, but two round trips somewhere. Looking at their bank account and wondering how they'll pay for that night in a hotel or an extra few meals because a doctor's appointment takes longer than necessary. Getting back home to relieve the babysitter and worrying that they won't be able to get childcare for the next day. These are real women's and real Iowans' concerns. And you need to think about them. Not just in a hypothetical, because this is real for Iowa women. When you say 24 hours is no big deal, you are refusing to put yourself in another person's shoes. You are only thinking about your own beliefs about someone else's healthcare decisions. And if members of this chamber insist on talking about morality, perhaps you can think twice about how forcing women to jump through hoops they don't deserve is what's immoral. I recently read a really great book, and I hope you will take this seriously because I think everyone in this chamber should read it. It's called My Notorious Life. It's a historical fiction novel based on the life of a woman in the mid-1800s who worked as a midwife, who also covertly provided contraceptive and abortion care in New York City. The women she cared for were from all walks of life, but they had two things in common: a need for safe childbirth and a desperate need to have some kind of control over their own fertility. Something that struck me over and over again was the complexity of her own beliefs as a healthcare provider, that no matter what she would have personally chosen to do in a situation was not relevant to the needs of another woman who faced her own unique circumstances. And as she talked to men in power, she said over and over again, "It's women who bear the burden of your decisions and your actions." And yes, she meant their actions in the halls of power and in the bedroom. And several generations later, even after remarkable advancements in medicine and reproductive freedom, women are still in a position of having to defend their own bodies, to defend their own futures. I say all this knowing that barring some miracle, I won't change the outcome of a vote today. But if the majority party refuses to listen to the vast majority of Iowans who support safe legal abortion and the balance struck with Roe v. Wade, then at the very least, you will have to listen to me. I'm sure it's clear that I'm angry. I'm angry about the substance of this amendment, I'm angry about the intent behind it, and I'm angry that we're even having this debate tonight. But here's the thing. I am also tired, not because we're here over the weekend, and not because it's 10 minutes to 11 p.m. I'm tired because in just the two legislative sessions I've been here, I've had to speak on the House floor or in committee, begging my colleagues not to defund sex education or to promulgate the fake science of so-called abortion reversal. And like every member of my caucus, I've held my breath as session comes to a close to see what anti-woman, anti-science amendment is going to get lobbed our way. And this is where we find ourselves tonight, dealing with a blatantly unconstitutional amendment just because you can. Without understanding, without empathy. I'm sure some of you will call this a win. It's too bad that it's not a win for the women in each of your districts whose lives will be made harder by your actions. I urge a no vote on this amendment.
Seeing no further discussion, the chair recognizes the lady from Dubuque for closing comments on H8314.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen of the House. Representative Mattson, we're not telling anyone this is no big deal. This is a huge deal. 2 in 3 Americans support a 24-hour waiting period, and that comes from the Kaiser Family Foundation on January 22, 2020. We wait 3 days for a marriage certificate, 72 hours for adoption after birth, 90 days for a divorce, 27 states have an 18 to 72 hour waiting period for abortion, including all of Iowa's neighbors, which brings me to a point, Representative Derry, your story was heartbreaking. I saw it on the Guttmacher Institute website, but you didn't finish the story because in Minnesota, there's a 24 hour waiting period. In closing, I'd like to address the case of Reynolds versus Planned Parenthood, where our Supreme Court created a constitutional right to abortion here in our state. At no point has there ever been stated in our Constitution that there is a right to an abortion. It's never been approved by this legislative body. It's never been approved by Iowans who get to decide what our Constitution looks like. This extreme action by our courts creates a law that deeply affects the lives of Iowans and removes their voice from the discussion. We look forward to the day where Iowans can have a seat at the table, and maybe this will provide an opportunity for the courts to rectify the terrible situation that they've created here in our state. Mr. Speaker, I move the amendment.
The lady from Dubuque moves H8314 be moved for the a record roll call vote has been requested by the lady from Polk, seconded by Representative Steckman. This is now a record roll call vote. The clerk will open the machine and record your vote. Smith, R. No. Hinson, I. Kaufman, I. Klein, I. Jones, I. Jacoby, no. Hall, no. Running Marquardt, no. Upmeyer, aye. Have you all now voted? The clerk will close the machine and record your vote. The House will pay attention to the results of the vote. Those voting aye, 53. Those voting no, 42. Absent or not voting, 5. The amendment has passed. We are now back on H8312 as amended. Is there a discussion? Seeing no discussion, the chair recognizes the gentleman from Pottawatomie for closing remarks on H8312.
Mr. Speaker, Senate Amendment H8312 changes the formatting of the bill and adds the definition of a minor through code reference.
The gentleman from Pottawatomie moves adoption of H8312. All those in favor, say aye. All those opposed, say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The amendment has passed. The gentleman from Pottawatomie moves the bill be read for the last time and placed on its passage. Are there objections? The gentleman from Polk objects to the title. The gentleman will state his objection.
I propose a new title, an act relating to a 24-hour waiting period prior to an abortion and other medical procedures, and I would move to consider that new title.
The gentleman from Polk moves a new title be considered. All those in favor?
Ask for a division and record as well.
A record roll call has been requested and seconded by Mattson of Polk. This is now a record roll call vote. The clerk will open the machine and receive your vote. Meyer. Henson, no. Bloomingdale, no. Jones, no. Klein, no. Smith, R, aye. Hall, aye. Have you all now voted? The clerk will close the machine and receive your vote. The House will pay attention to the results of the vote. Those voting aye, 41. Those voting no, 53. Absent or not voting, 6. The motion has failed. The gentleman from Pottawatomie moves the bill be read for the last time and placed on its passage. Are there objections? Seeing none, the clerk will read.
House File 594, a bill for an act relating to medical procedures, including abortion and limitations regarding the withdrawal of life-sustaining procedures from a minor child, being enacted by the General Assembly of the State of Iowa.
The question now is, shall the bill pass? Those in favor of its passage shall vote aye. Those opposed shall vote no. The clerk will receive your vote. Henson, aye. Upmeyer, aye. Hall, no. Smith, R, no. Height, aye. Bloomingdale, aye. Jones, aye. Have you all now voted? The clerk will close the machine and record your vote. The House will pay attention to the results of the vote. Those voting aye, 53. Those voting no, 42. Absent or not voting, 5. The bill having received a constitutional majority is declared to have passed the House. Are there objections to the title? The chair hears none. The title is agreed to. The chair recognizes the gentleman from Harrison.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, at this time, please recognize Representative Best for House File 2485.
The chair recognizes the gentleman from Carroll for opening remarks on House File 2485, and we are on the Senate Amendment H316.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I move that the House concur in the Senate Amendment H316 and ask the body to vote aye.
Is there a discussion? The chair recognizes the lady from Lynn, Representative Ellert.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This is the bill that we voted on earlier before we suspended the session that allowed the registered child development homes to have an exception on emergency school closing days. Previously, the bill just had inclement weather and structural damage, but then COVID came along after we passed the bill, and I worked over in the Senate with Senator Sweeney to add in public health emergency. So that's the only change that we made to this, and I urge everyone to vote yes. Thank you.
Seeing no further discussion, the chair recognizes the gentleman from Carroll for closing remarks on H8316. The gentleman from Carroll moves H8316. All those in favor, say aye. All those opposed, say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The amendment has been approved. The gentleman from Carroll moves the bill be read for the last time, placed on its passage. Are there objections? Seeing none, the clerk will read.
House File 2485, a bill for an act establishing an exception to the number of children allowed to be present for child care at one time in a child development home under certain conditions being enacted by the General Assembly of the State of Iowa.
The question now is, shall the bill pass? Those in favor of its passage shall vote aye. Those opposed shall vote no. The clerk will open the machine and receive your vote. Smith R. Aye. Brown Powers. Aye. Hull. Aye. Zumba, aye. Have you all now voted? The clerk will close the machine and record your vote. The House will pay attention to the results of the vote. Those voting aye, 92. Those voting no, 1. Absent or not voting, 7. The bill having received a constitutional majority is declared to have passed the House. Are there objections to the title? The chair hears none. The title is agreed to. The chair recognizes the gentleman from Harrison.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Good evening, Mr. Speaker. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen of the House. Mr. Speaker, this time I ask unanimous consent to immediately message Senate File 2310, House File 594, and House File 2485 to the Senate.
Are there objections? Hearing none, so ordered. The chair recognizes the gentleman from Floyd.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Democrats will caucus immediately in the Wallace Building.
With the Democrats going to caucus, the House will stand at ease.